Recording is on.
Okay.
Recording is on.
That's awesome. Well, there we are. And now, hi, Derek, this is Blanca from Blanca Professional Service, and I am very thankful that you're joining us today. I'm really sorry that there was some kind of, you know, mistake here, but now I'm happy that you joined us. So can you tell us what is going to be your podcast and webinar today, and then you can take over the presentation, and, you know, then we'll ask you some questions if we have some questions.
Yeah.
All right.
So I represent at a government level all self-directed IRA custodians. So this is kind of unique. Now, I do work for a very specific one. I work for Quest Trust Company. But overall, everything I say and talk about and teaching, it all has to deal with your guys' retirement accounts. And I think it's really unique because I've been given this position. I've been very fortunate to be able to help people honestly build better retirement accounts, build more wealth, and I don't charge any fees or anything like that from my standpoint of view. So overall, it's been very fortunate for me, but it's always nice to see and hear the rewarding side of it, of just people taking real control using a self-directed IRA or a self-directed 401k or anything along those lines. So that's really what I'm here and going to be talking about today.
Okay, that's awesome. I think a lot of people are going to love this program, you know, because they're going to learn a lot of tips from you. So I'm happy to have you, and, you know, I am happy. Let me ask you about your company. I know it's Quest, the name of the company.
Yes.
Where are you guys located, and how can people reach you? You know, so just to start the presentation on the right path. So who are you, and what you do, and then what's your company name, and how people can contact you?
Yeah, well, so we are Quest Trust Company, right? It's we are probably the only custodian in the U.S. now that doesn't use an automated line. So if you give us a call, someone actually picks up the phone and answers. So I think that's really unique in today's day and age.
Yes.
The best number to reach us at is always going to be our local Texas number, because we have offices across Texas, but it's 281-492-3434. Ignoring that, though, guys, you can always just Google us, Quest Trust Company, and we've been in business for 23 years now. So we've been around the block. We've been through the ups and through the downs, and like I said, because we've been around for so long, we do operate now in all 50 states, and Congress has elected us to represent and speak on a quarterly basis at the Congress level about self-directed IRA. So we really have a lot of knowledge internally, you know, just amongst our staff. So
that's really awesome. Yeah, I hear about you on with Mr. Don Pendleton with the Well Academy. So that's where I met Derek. You know, because just for the audience to know, even though we are in the business, you know, we still have to learn from other people who had more knowledge and who have more, you know, they can share their ideas with us. So, and we can always bring more people to the table to share those educational programs with you. So Derek, I'm not gonna take more time from you, and let's go and get started with our presentation.
You got it. Well, as we go through this, if anyone does have questions, reach out to me directly. You know, I'm very open. I can even give everyone out there this PowerPoint that we're gonna utilize and stuff like that, because when you're using a PowerPoint, man, it can be really boring, especially when I talk about retirement accounts and ultimately, you know, just taxes.
Okay.
So we're going to go ahead and just go through this as we can.
Okay.
Let's see real fast.
That's very nice.
Yeah. I always think it's easier that way for people, so.
Yes.
Ultimately, I call this the real use for using a self-directed IRA. I always like to give a quick disclaimer, is everything we're talking about, I can't give you legal advice or tax advice in this setting, you know? So just please take this only as education, and give us a call if you want to have like a private consultation or something like that. So I always say we're going to learn about some of the self-directed IRA basics, why it's important to you as an investor, and even tackle some real life issues that people seem to come up with when they're using a self-directed IRA. And if we have time, we'll talk about some Congress updates as well.
Okay, awesome.
Yep. The first thing I always tell people is the IRS puts all of us into two categories, right? Category one being a taxable category, category two being a non-taxable category. So when I say this, I break it down this way, I try to, you know, make it pretty just standard, but taxable category is what everyone is familiar with, right? You, as an individual, right? Anything you set up, your LLCs, your S-Corps, your C-Corps, your businesses. When you make money as an individual and you make profit, you have to pay your taxes.
Yes.
Now, when I say a non-taxable entity or something that the IRS isn't going to tax, a lot of people jump to like a church, a charity, or a nonprofit organization maybe.
Right.
But believe it or not, a self-directed IRA is considered a non-taxable entity.
Right.
All the same thing. Same with a solo 401k or a QRP plan. And these are all things Quest can help you establish and avoid taxes on any of the investments. Now, I like to use the term self-directed IRA, but I always ask people, what is it? What is a self-directed IRA? Believe it or not, they're fake. They are made up. This is actually just a marketing term. There is no legal distinction between a regular retirement account or an IRA and a self-directed IRA, right? There is no legal distinction. So why do we use it? Because it comes down to the custodian that holds your retirement account. As an example, if I have a self-directed IRA at Fidelity, well, Fidelity lets me self-directed in stocks, bonds, CDs, mutual funds. If I have a self-directed IRA at Quest, we let you self-direct it into things like real estate, rental properties, notes, multifamily, whatever. Don't think that one is better than the other. It's different. One company lets you buy Apple stock. One company lets you buy real estate. So whatever you want to buy, that's where you set up your self-directed account. There's always a lot of benefits to it. And I always just kind of throw them all up right away. But I say, I mean, obviously, we always talk about diversification. Being able to diversify a portfolio, right, and take your 401k, not just owning stocks, but maybe owning stocks and real estate. That's real diversification. Tax savings is the biggest reason you should be using these accounts. I like to use the example of a fix and flip. If I personally fix up a house and I flip it and I make $10,000, I don't really get to keep $10,000. The IRS comes in and they tax me. I might only get to keep 7 or 8, depending on my tax bracket. But I could do that exact same investment inside a self-directed IRA and avoid 100% of the taxes. So this is really unique, knowing I can do the exact same deals I'm already doing, but personally I pay taxes, the IRA I don't have to. This leads to finally being able to really invest in something that you know best. Something that's tangible, something I can, you know, touch, feel, see, look at. You know, in those examples right there, it's nice to know that I can actually invest in something that's a real tangible asset, you know? So with that being said, these are the 7 types of accounts that are the most popular that are self-directed. Traditional IRA and Roth IRA can both be self-directed, SEPs and simples and solo 401ks. But there's even these specialty accounts over here. You see the health savings account and the Coverdell account for a child. So there's a lot of different ways to use a self-directed style account for real estate investing. Now, I always say that if we're looking at this, remember, none of these IRAs you see on the screen are taxable today when they're doing investments. So if they're not taxable today, right, there has to be some restrictions from the IRS. And absolutely there is. The IRS says there's people restrictions, so there's people my IRA cannot invest into, and then there's transaction restrictions and investment restrictions. For most big people out there, you only care about the people restrictions, because that's usually where people get into trouble. I can't use my IRA and invest in someone that's disqualified to that said IRA. First person being me. Think about it. I can't use my non-taxable entity, my IRA, and invest into me personally, my taxable entity. If that was the case, why would I ever pay myself back? Why would I ever report taxes? If the deal went wrong, do you take care of the taxable or the non-taxable side? So you just can't do it. Most of the time, that's not what you're trying to do. All you're trying to do is you found an asset you want to buy, so just use the IRA. Now, I put this list up here. It's super ugly. You don't need to memorize it. That's my job. All right. But I always say this comes down to you, your spouse, your parents, and your kids. So same thing, I can't take my IRA and lend my kids money to go ahead and start up their business. I can't take my IRA and buy a house and let my parents live in it, that way they have a place to stay. Doesn't work that way. It has to be what the IRS considers a real investment, not tied to you as an individual. So notice this, they make it look scary, they put all these things in there, but it's actually really, really simple. And if you have questions about it, you just gotta let me know or let any one of our other IRA specialists know how to go about it. So the IRS says is if you go through this, this would be considered a prohibited transaction. You can't buy, sell, loan, trade, extend a service, you know, whether it's directly or indirectly between any of those individuals. So that is the real way to go about the self-directed side, right? And always after I go through that, I scared the pants off everybody. Right? And you go, oh, I don't know, well, what can I invest in then if I can't invest in myself?
Right. Well,
anybody, anything else, right? Remember, we're not trying to invest in ourselves. Usually, well, I didn't want to invest in me. I still wanted to buy that house. I want that house to make me money.
Right.
Right? Great. It's not you buying it. It's just your IRA. We're going to go through some examples of that in a minute. Oh. I put some list up here from single family homes and tax liens and LLCs and secured notes and, you know, equity appreciation stuff. Honestly, guys, your retirement account can invest into anything that it really can take title to. All of that being said, there are some issues. And the issues are the same thing for everybody out there. It comes down to they don't know how to use the self-directed IRA. So I've broken down to two categories. Category one, I said, is direct ownership through an IRA. And category two is ownership through an additional entity like an LLC or a trust or anything along those lines. So we're going to break both of these down real quick, right? And I'm going to start with the direct ownership because I find it's the easier method if you're a beginner in this field. So what does it look like? Ultimately, step one, you have to have an IRA set up, right? Makes sense. So when Quest sets up an IRA, it will look something like this. The IRA really is its own entity. It has its own name, its own address, its own tax ID number, its own level of asset protection. This now is its own entity. So what is it that you want to buy? You want to invest in notes? You want to buy a property? You want to invest in an LLC? That's fine. On your investment paperwork, it is not you, the investor. It is the IRA. The IRA is the one that will literally send money in exchange for the title of the asset. Well, this means you as the individual don't receive the profit, right? The IRA is the one that would receive the profit. So if the IRA is the one that receives the profit, this is why it is tax exempt. You, the taxable entity, did not receive the profit, your IRA did. So what's going on behind the scenes? Behind the scenes, your custodian, in this case would be Quest, has to stay involved. I always like to bring that up and point this out because we as a custodian get audited 5 times a year, 4 times by the Texas Banking Division and once via the IRS.
Wow.
That's a lot of audits.
Yes.
But this means it's a very clean way for you to go through a transaction because we're being audited, not you. We are being looked at, not you. So this is why we have to charge you a fee. Across the board, and this holds true not just for us, but any custodian you choose to go with, right? But there's always going to be a brand new transaction fee, and we charge you $125 for every single property that you purchase. All right? So always got to remember that. It's very basic, it's very easy, but you want to keep this in mind. I always have to give just one more example of investments because sometimes people, they put even more thought to it. They go, man, I don't have enough money to make a deal happen to my IRA. You probably do. We see a lot of people take their IRAs. Maybe they have a traditional IRA. Maybe they have a Roth IRA. Maybe they have that health savings account. You can actually combine all of these into one investment. Right? Let's say it was a note, you're lending someone money. Well, in this example, I made it look pretty. You know, I made them all equal $100,000. But what's nice is the Roth would own 20% of the investment, the HSA would own 10%, and the traditional IRA in this case would own 70%. So when profit is made, profit is split, 20, 10, 7. Just as a brief example. Mm-hmm. So I love this one because this is really simple to go through this. And I always say there's some big pros and cons to it. The biggest pro, I think it's an easy way to bring money together if you have a bunch of small IRAs. The IRS likes it because you're leveraging a custodian. Right? It's very quick, it's very easy for a custodian to go through these processes with you, and then the IRS has less work and they don't have to monitor you. This is why if you're a beginner, this is the best way to do a transaction. But there's some cons. What are those cons? Well, I get to charge a fee. A lot of people forget about that, but that's why it is so easy, right? Is I'm going to charge you a fee for every new investment you purchase. Now, if you're doing real estate and $125 is making or breaking your investment deal, it's probably not the best investment out there. So make sure your investments make sense when we're talking about self-directed IRAs. Lastly, Quest sees everything you're doing. You have to fill out all the paperwork with me. You're going to send it all to me. I'm going to review it. I'm going to sign it with you. We're going to send money to the title company, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, some people don't like that. Some people want to hide their name. Some people want to remove their name from the county records as best they can. So how do you go about that? Is there a way to do that with the self-directed IRA? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we call it checkbook control.
Okay.
So in this field right here, I try to tell people checkbook control is just a marketing term. This is not a legal term. You cannot find this in anywhere in IRS tax code, nothing like that. So the problem with that is a ton of people out there write articles based off what their opinions are of checkbook control, and people get confused on what it means. So I'm going to break down what it means and really go through the methods completely. So first off, we understand that we can already have multiple IRAs do an investment. Now you can take multiple ones, but remember every time they do a new investment, I charge a fee. Well, what if I don't want to pay that fee every single time? What if I don't want my name in those county tax records? All right, then let's have those IRAs create an entity in the middle. That entity could be an LLC, it could be a trust, it could be anything like that, it doesn't matter. But as you can see, these IRAs will be the owners of the LLC, of the trust, whatever it is you choose to create. So during that time, you gotta realize that you're used to you setting up that LLC. So when you set it up, you're labeled as the owner.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the IRA set it up, so the IRA is labeled as the owner. If you have multiple IRAs, that means each IRA will own a very certain percentage based off the capital they contribute.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, though, these IRAs are not real people. So what happens? I need to have a real person actually sit here and be what we call a manager. On our own LLCs, we're known as the managing member because we are the member, the owner, and we're labeled as the manager, the one that controls it.
Right.
Unfortunately, you can't do that with an IRA. So you have to assign someone the IRS says is a non-disqualified person. Can't be you, it can't be your spouse, it can't be your parents, and it can't be your kids. And this rule did not always exist. And the problem with that is a lot of people have these old rules that are they have in place and they are not grandfathered in. So make sure you guys, if you have something like this set up, you have it already updated and you have a non-disqualified person as your manager. From there, Quest in this example charges one fee. Moving forward, this LLC can now do whatever investments it wants, and we no longer have to charge any fees. So this is very attractive because people go, oh, it's a lot cheaper on fees. But you got to make sure you trust that non-disqualified person, right? And there's other cons that are come about with it as well we're going to talk about. Easy way to leverage as a pro, multiple IRAs. You can see why it's really, really hidden. because you're removing your name, and lastly, it can be super cheap on fees. But you gotta make sure you trust that non-disqualified person. I always say it can't be you, spouse, parents, kids. So you heard me say it can't be your family. I did not say that. It could be a sibling, a brother or sister. It could be an aunt and uncle, a niece and nephew. It could be another business partner. But it just can't be you, spouse, parents, kids.
Mm-hmm.
This is also not the IRS's favorite method. Why not? Well, you're purposely setting this structure up to hide things from them. You know that. So instead of looking at my books, they now are going to look at yours. So this isn't bad. It just means don't be shady about it. You also have to pay an attorney typically to set up that entity. Mm-hmm. I can't legally do it for you. So have an attorney on standby just to set up that LLC. And in some states, it's really expensive. In some states, you have franchise fees to keep that LLC active. So it doesn't matter. Every state's going to be a little different. So make sure you have a good, competent attorney to set that up. Ultimately, I go through this whole process, and every single time, the very first question I get, hey, Derek, can I be my own trustee or my own manager? No! I don't know why I get this question, but I do consistently as soon as I'm done with that talk. And it's hilarious. But overall, guys, what it comes down to, this is an exact snippet of the tax code. I put a link down here so you can fact check me, right, as a cited source. But it used to come down to, and I highlighted section C, subsection C, and the services. They used to say, hey, if you're a manager, are you providing a service to your IRA? If you do, that's prohibited. Yeah. Some custodians said, hey, providing a service is not prohibited. Other custodians did. And this was really, really difficult because there's a lot of bad information out there. Recently, though, the IRS updated us with this section right here. This did not used to be here. And it says now the act by a disqualified person. Remember, you're disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
Was also the fiduciary. You're the fiduciary, the owner of the account. Deals in the income and or assets of the plan being the IRA, the solo 401k, the HSA, the ESA, in your own interest or for the retirement account's interest. So they added this in there purposely so you can't be your own manager anymore in those cases.
Mm-hmm.
Overall, that is really all I got. So I try to keep it short, you know, because IRA can be boring.
Yes, indeed. It's very interesting. Well, you know, I think that was very short, but very to the point, and also had a lot of information. So if anybody wants to contact Derek, Derek is, his name is Derek Long, and his CISP, what does that stand for?
So I am a certified IRA service professional.
Okay.
All right, you have to get that certification from the American Banking Association. And it's like taking the bar exam. And so instead of an attorney, I study tax code.
Oh, okay, got it. Okay, that's very good. So, and then his company name is Quest Trust, and you can go online and say www.questtrust.com. And here, he just get you a way to get in contact with him. So his number, it's already in the screen, but he also can be reached at 281-492-3434. And so if you have any more questions or if you need help, you know, I think he will be the person for you, and he and his company can, you know, provide you the services. And I love the fact that you make it really easy to understand, because you know, IRS are kind of complex in themselves. So just by you going through what you can do, what you cannot do, and all that, it's very, very simple. You make it really easy. And so now, if they want to say, Derek like you said, we cannot be the people in, my husband, my kids, and myself cannot be the people who can manage this self-directed IRA. So that's one thing that we took away from this presentation. And so now, if you want to reach back to us, you know, we're here to help you. And as always, we always say, this is just an educational program for everybody who's listening and watching this webinar. And I hope you join us next time also. And I really appreciate your time, Derek, and sharing your knowledge with us. And hopefully next time we can, you might have some other scenarios and some other things that you can share with us, you know.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. I really do appreciate it. I enjoy doing these things. And if you personally ever have any questions, you can always reach out to me directly, okay?
Okay, that's awesome. Well, thank you for joining us today, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Recording has